I believe one of the things that I believe, and I really am, I base my life on, is I love things in person. It took me a while to get a hold of text messages. And it may seem funny, it took me a while to get a hold of text messages, but I'm a personable person. And I believe, even though I've been teaching this book for going on 5 or 6 years now, I believe the Holy Spirit always illuminates it and makes it alive for the relationship that we have. So the videos were good for information, but for a relationship, they suck. You know, I'm just being real with you. You know, if you ain't got nothing else, you got to do video. But when you don't have to do videos, you don't want to do video. That's why I stress to LTMA so much. LTMA, those that travel, those that say they're going to follow apostle, not to watch it by internet, to get there in person. Because as wonderful as technology is, there's nothing that can replace atmosphere. There's nothing that can replace atmosphere. Technology can't replace atmosphere. All the videos in the world can't replace atmosphere. So I'm glad to be here. So your exam was on chapter 7, right?
Yes, sir.
I know you read chapter 7, but chapter 7 is such a powerful and pivotal chapter for this book. If you do not grab chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and so on and so forth, you won't even understand where they're coming from. If we do not understand covenant. Now, I've been talking about covenant since we've been together, but I never had a chance to get into detail like we're going to get into tonight. All right. So I want you, if you don't have your books, that's OK. But next class, I want you to bring your books, because I want you to underline heavily in this chapter. Underline heavily. If you have a book that you can't underline in, give it back to him. I'm going to give you another one. You paid for these books. You better be able to underline them. And so we're going to really delve into covenant, because before we get there, turn with me to 2 Kings, the second chapter, and hold your finger there. And thank you, Internet, for being patient with me with the videos. Thank you so much. This is a live class we're having now. If you're watching live, I appreciate your patience in my absence. I'm glad to be here with you. 2 Kings, the second chapter, and then Job 1. And I think it's around verse 12, but we'll go to 2 Kings first. 2 Kings. Because the first thing I want to do is expose the enemy and how much he hates covenant. 2 Kings 2, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. And Elijah, now notice what's about to happen. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. This is about to happen. It hasn't happened yet, but it's about to happen. Other words, this was preluded by Elijah asking Elijah, what you want me to do for you? He said, I want a what? Double portion of your anointing, correct?
Yes, sir.
So here it is, and Elijah's response was, if you see me when I go, you can have it, right?
Yes, sir.
So here it is, and it came to pass that the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, Elijah said to Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. If Elisha wouldn't have went with Elijah, he wouldn't have saw him. See, the main, and go to Job 1. The enemy hates covenant. Mm-hmm. Because God created a covenant with Adam and Eve. People don't discuss this covenant he had with Adam and Eve, but God had created a covenant with Adam and Eve. Because in a covenant, watch this, what a covenant does. A covenant has one agenda in which two parties come together and say, we're going to accomplish this agenda. The covenant God had with Adam and Eve is, I'm going to give you my abilities, but you're going to have to replenish the earth. Remember now, we got to remember, Eden, listen to me, internet, Eden was not the whole earth. It was just a portion of the earth. And so Eden was training ground for them to be eventually loosed into the outer darkness to do what? What they learned to do. So God's covenant with Adam and Eve is, I'm going to make you like me. I'm going to give you my abilities. But if you want these abilities and you want what I have, then you're going to have to replenish the earth for me. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Now, here's the funny thing about it. Here's how you know how much God loves you. Because God could have replenished the earth on his own.
Right.
He just had just made Eden.
Yes, sir.
He had just made Eden.
Right. Yes, sir.
So he could have done this on his own. But because he loves us so much, then he said, I'm going to make them like me, give them my abilities, but they're going to have to replenish the earth for me. That's covenant. One agenda. Two parties come together for one agenda. Are you seeing this? So the enemy, we see from the very beginning how the enemy hates covenant and how he destroys covenant. He comes in and makes false accusations and tries to create a reality that's not really real. So here it is. He took Adam and Eve, made them believe something that was opposite to what God had told them. They were already gods. They were already who Satan saying they were going to become. It's very simple. Satan's trick is very easy. Anytime you get connected to someone who's going to bring you to another level where God wants you to be, Satan is going to attack and he's going to lie to you. And he's going to point out all of their weaknesses. All right, you see this. Job 1. We know the story about Job. Most of us read it. Here is a very, very unique conversation we see being recorded between God and Satan. There are not many. There are very few in the Bible recorded of conversations between God and Satan. There are not many. So every time you see a conversation between God and Satan, it's a significant conversation that we need to pay attention to and learn from. So here it is. God is bragging on Job, and God is saying how much Job loves him, and Satan is challenging that. All right, verse 12. So Satan really was saying, telling God, the only reason why Job loves you is because he got all his stuff. You gave him all his stuff. So the Lord said, now we're about to see, and I'm just very important. We're about to see. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thine power. All that Job has, you can do what you want with it. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. God said, you can do what you want to Job, you just can't kill him. Now, come on, now, I want you to feel me on this. Now, I want you to feel me and understand. God is sitting here and God is proving something to Satan. See, Job has some weaknesses. I understand. Job might not have had the faith that we might have. Or Job might not have had the teaching that we have. Job didn't have the blood of Jesus on his side. Jesus hadn't died yet. But one thing Job had that could not be taken away from him is his heart for God and what God wanted. It got so bad on Job to where Job's wife said, you ought to curse God and die. Job wouldn't do it. all the stuff. That's where we get the statement from, the Lord giveth and Lord taketh away. That was just Job speaking out of his ignorance. But I got to say, even in Job's ignorance, Job still had more faith than some of us on this side of the cross. Could Job say, okay, if it got taken away from me, then God, hey, it must be God's will. And I'm not going to get mad at God. But Satan was trying to destroy the covenant that Job had with God. Satan went even so far to take everything from him just to get him to turn his back on God and his connection. That's how much Satan hates covenant. So as I begin to talk about covenant, now listen to me, as I begin to talk about covenant, what's going to happen is Satan is going to try to play tricks with your mind. It don't take all that. You ain't got to do all that. But yet we see Job. You know, it ain't that serious. Some of us going to come under conviction about some things that we know that God has spoke to us about doing. And we haven't done them yet towards covenant. I want the conviction to come because the conviction is the thing that's going to take your life, or the conviction is the thing that's going to cause you to do something to bring your life to the next level. Nobody will attain success on their own. Nobody. You're going to have to be connected. So that's why Satan works so hard to keep us separated from our spiritual leaders. That's why Satan, that's why ego is such a problem in the body of Christ. You can't, that's what Jesus kept, one thing Jesus kept talking about, Jesus kept saying, you must come as a little child. Jesus says the one that serve is the greatest. Is that not what he said? And what I'm saying, that Satan aims to get you disconnected, get you out of covenant, by whispering things to you that will cause you to question whether I'm doing the right thing or not. Yes, sir. See, so as I begin to talk about covenant and talk about what covenant is, yeah, see, I know, because it happened to me when I was reading this book. The first time I read this book, Satan was hey, it ain't that serious. You ain't got to do all that. It ain't that significant. And he's trying to downplay the importance of covenant. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Page one on the, not page one, the first page on chapter 7. I want you to highlight this, if you haven't already. A covenant is defined as a declaration of an oath of allegiance through an agreed document with the fixivity of law and absolutes, with a view to implement a system of sanctions, important, to provide social continuity and government through elected representatives for accurate implementation of the said process. Now, that's a long definition. I understand that. So we're going to sit down and break this. We can sit here and break this definition down. What is an allegiance? Is loyalty to a person or a cause. So a declaration of an oath of loyalty to a person or a cause. All right. What is loyalty? Loyalty is faithful, especially to a cause or an idea. Now, faithful. I have I ever broke the word faithful down for you? I never bring it up. Let's break the word down. Faithful. Faithful does not mean dedicated. Dedication is a result of being faithful. See, some people try to define faithful as being dedicated. No, faithful simply means I'm full of faith. Or, I know I explained it. I know we went over this. I'm full of my assignment.
Right. Yes, sir.
So if I'm full of my assignment, that leads me to be dedicated. See, People who are not faithful or full of faith will be dedicated, but the dedication won't last when things don't go their way.
That's right.
Because if I'm full of something, that's who I am. That's what I be. That's what I'm going to do. See, the Bible says God is love. So that's who he is. He can't hate. So his actions are always going to be love. Whether we define them, watch this. Jesus was in the epitome of love when he whooped them money changers out of the temple. Now, based on our limited mental capacity, we say, oh, Jesus ain't had to whip them. He ain't had to hate on them like that. But Jesus, who's the very Son of God, is love. So every action he has is an act of love. That's who he is. He's faithful. Are you seeing this? So loyalty is faithful, especially to a cause or an idea. Go to Psalms 89:34. This is God. This is God talking, and I mean, you can't get no simpler than this. Verse 34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that have gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. That's God talking. That's David singing a song, but the Holy Spirit revealed to David what God is saying to him. God said, I will not alter my covenant. I ain't changing it. I'm going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. Are y'all seeing this? So faithful is being full of something. See, I'm full of what God has called me to do. And I'm very specific at what God called me to do. God called me to assist Apostle Thompson in doing what God called him to do. So therefore, I'm full of it. I sleep, eat, and breathe, and drink this. I get in confrontations when I see somebody who ain't doing what they're supposed to do and want the connection from Apostle that they dream about having, but you don't want to pay the price. I got problems with that. So there's going to be conflict.
Right.
Watch this. I'm faithful to my wife. I got problems with anybody else trying to, I've got problems with other people trying to holler at my wife.
Right.
I'm full of her. I got problems.
Right.
I'm having misunderstandings.
Right.
I got misunderstandings with the women and the men. Faithful. We are one.
Yes, sir.
So there's no room for any foolishness.
Yes, sir.
There's no room for me allowing anybody to come and do into what God has told me to do. And I can't lax on that. See, there's a difference between walking in love and being lax.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Just because I disagree with you about what God has called me to do and I'm adamant about what God called me to do, don't mean I'm not walking in love with you. We just disagree on that.
Right.
So you go your way and I go mine. We walking in love.
Right.
Are you seeing this? A declaration of an oath, that's what it is, of allegiance. It has to be verbal. This is something that you have to say to yourself. This is something that has to be, it can't be hidden. It can't be no Nicodemus stuff.
Right.
Where you coming at night.
Yeah.
It has to be something, everybody has to know where you stand. One of the greatest benefits of covenant is one of the greatest benefits of covenant, I'm trying to find, is overflow. The greatest benefits of covenant is sap. Jesus said in John 15 and 1, right? I'm the branch. I'm the, I'm the, I'm the, I'm the, I'm the, You the vine, I'm the vine, you the branches. Right? If you know a vine and a branch, whatever's on the vine, was ever in the vine, got to be in the branches. Right? The branch connected to the vine. So whatever is in the vine flows into the branches. So therefore, my objective or my agenda may be to assist the vine, but I benefit because I have the same thing that the vine flowing through it is flowing through me. So therefore, when it comes to my personal issues, the same sap that was there to give life to produce fruit for the kingdom can produce fruit for my world. You see this? So this is one of the, see, this is why Satan, he's so against covenant. He wants disconnection. He wants you to be a loner.
Right.
Oh, here's a good one. I can hear God all for myself.
Yep. Right.
That's what people say. I can hear God. I know. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus lives in me. Nobody ain't said, nobody never said that Jesus didn't live in you. Nobody ever said that. Do you know that Jesus allowed one of his disciples to leave the room before he gave the greatest commandment that he ever gave man? Oh, yeah, you take your time when you get a chance to go read about Judas. He told Judas, go do what you're going to do. Do it quickly. The rest of the disciples thought because Judas was holding the money that he was going to buy food for them to eat. But Jesus said, knew already that he was going to be the one to betray him, get him out the room. And then after he got him out the room, Jesus said, the greatest commandment that I give you is that ye love one another. The greatest commandment is covenant. The greatest, because Jesus said that ye love one another. A declaration of this oath of allegiance has to be verbal. It has to be intentional. It can't be a fad. It can't be, and see, this is this, it can't be something that you're emotional about. This cannot be, covenant cannot be driven by emotions, because a covenant will take you through all sorts of emotions. As a matter of fact, sometimes God will allow one of your counterparts in covenant to do something to get you angry, to see what you're going to do. Oh, all right, then go to Deuteronomy the 8th chapter. Go to Deuteronomy the 8th chapter. Very specific. Go to Deuteronomy the 8th chapter. Go to Deuteronomy the 8th chapter. No, not God. Yes, God. Deuteronomy the 8th chapter. Verse 2. You got to realize, they just come out of Egypt. They got all this money. They ain't sick. They're healthy. They got their strength back. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to do what? And to what? And to what? So God caused him to go in the wilderness for 40 years for the... So, God will try you. God will try you to see. See, I thought God was omniscient. He knows everything. Well, yeah, God knows everything, but God needs you to know what's in your heart.
That's right.
And God will cause you to find out things in your heart so that you can change those things. Because he can't change them. Because that's called witchcraft. Because if we're going to be free moral agents, we got to be free moral agents.
Right.
So sometimes God will put you in a position that will challenge your theocracy, your theology. Do I really love him? Do I really want to be part of the government of God? Do I really want to be part of this theocracy? Because if God can't trust you, he can't take you to the next level. Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you something. God is always, and I mean always, he's always going to use a man or woman to challenge you.
Yeah. Yes,
sir. So if you won't go deeper in God, listen to me, that if you won't go deeper in God and you won't be by yourself, you ain't going no further.
That's right.
God will always. You can't find an instance in the Bible where God didn't challenge a man to get him to the next level. You can't find one in the Bible. God will always use a man. Man or woman, always. And so here's the issue. That's why Satan shoot these darts in our mind. But she ain't had to say that to you. He ain't had to. But see, one of the things you must remember about covenant is that we are all human. Oh, Lord. One of the greatest instances of apostolic authority. This is the greatest instance in the Bible of apostolic authority. And how much God backs up apostolic authority is when Noah was drunk and naked. Noah was dead wrong. Out of the will of God. But when it was Ham, right? Right, Ham, right? When Ham went in there, listen to me there. When Ham went in there disrespectful, his whole lineage got cursed.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The other two sons went in backwards, covered him up.
Yeah, right, right.
Now, wait a minute. Noah was drunk. He was wrong. He was naked. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. So how in the world did Ham get cursed? Are y'all seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So what Satan would do, Satan would take that instance. He will always try to find when your leader is at their weakest moment so you can pounce.
Wow.
And get you to try to pounce. But what people don't realize is that apostolic order is the only thing that God is not going to override. Because when he override apostolic order, he override himself. God said, my covenant I will not alter, my word I will not break. Are you understanding this? So Satan, so you have to learn how to navigate through covenant and understand that attacks on you. See, I hope I'm helping you.
Yes, sir.
Stop worrying about what other people think.
Yes, sir.
I don't think he or she should have said that to you. I don't think he or she should have done it that way. I don't think he or she handled you right. You know you anointed. You know God speaks to you. And so what happens, that stuff begin to feed on us. So when God challenges us in a way, sometimes it's not even that you're doing nothing wrong. God just won't see how you're going to act. God just won't see how you're going to act. Are you going to allow him to be who God called? Are you going to allow God to be God and uphold his authority? Or are you going to take it up on yourself to tell the authority what God is saying? It's just best, if you can't handle it, just to be quiet and leave. That's the best thing to do. Are y'all getting me? Because you do not want to be the one
to come against God's apostolic authority. Because when you come against God's apostolic authority, you're now challenging the whole system or the whole kingdom for which God based his program on. Are you seeing this? Miriam was Moses' prayer warrior. Mm-hmm. Prayed Moses through.
Right.
Was the very one to get Moses. His mom sent him down the Nile River. She on the inside. She see the basket coming, floating on the water. She the one. Get Moses. Bring Moses to the princess. And then make a suggestion that I know the right person to nurse,
right.
Which was her mom.
Right.
Miriam did all that. Miriam can be attributed to being a one that saved Moses' life. But when Miriam wanted to question who Moses was married and question why he was doing things a certain way, God said, uh-uh. No, 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 no. I don't care who you, I don't care if you got him out the Nile yourself. You're not going to override apostolic authority. Do y'all realize, you read back in this story, it was Moses that talked to God and told God, God, that's enough.
Right.
See, covenant is important, man. It's covenant is real. Covenant, and see, so people. So because we live in such an individualistic society, you know, the land of the free, the home of the brave, you know, we're going to conquer some stuff on our own. That's not how God designed things to be. God designed us to work together.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
To co-inhabitate so that his kingdom can reign and rule.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But Satan allows these little nitpicking things to come in and detour us. So because Pastor might have said something wrong to me, not immoral, but I might be a little embarrassed. Or I might have been aiming to do the right thing, but I didn't do it right, and I got corrected. And now my feelings hurt. Now Satan is talking to me saying, you know, hey, you too good for this. And you don't realize, go to Romans 8 chapter. Please, please, please. Please, please, Romans 8 chapter. Because once you see this, when you see the scripture in this matter, you're never going to allow anybody to disconnect you from where you're supposed to be ever again. Never. You're not going to do it. Watch what we read. Romans 8 chapter. Verse 28. And we know, not we feel. And listen a minute, and we know, not we feel. And we know that all things work together. For what? For good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So here's what you have to know. Here's what you have to understand. If my spiritual leader handled me improperly, I have to let God deal with it because it's working for my good.
Right.
Some good.
Right.
Yeah. Next time, you got this. Satan trying to test me. See how I'm gonna react. It's gonna be cool. I had to learn this. I had to learn it because I'm type of person. You're not gonna just tell me no anything. And if I'm special, if I'm not wrong, I'm coming back at you. But there's some times where you have to learn to take the low road because at the end of the day, it don't matter. At the end of the day, it's all about agenda. It's all about accomplishing what God wants to accomplish. And sometimes, I've seen this happen, sometimes God might be using you as a guinea pig to bring somebody else out.
Wow.
There's another one hiding in the group that ain't quite right.
Right.
And God will get the leader to come at you to get them to react.
That's right.
Jesus. This is why we have to know that all things, we have to watch this, that all things work together. That word together comes from the root word synergeo. Synergeo means forces that come together, meaning good and bad forces coming together. Synergy, working together for my good. So bad situations and good situations are working together for my
good.
Not my bad, for my
good.
Come on.
Are y'all seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So we can't be scared of appearing to be wrong.
Okay.
And we can't be scared to be corrected.
Right.
Matter of fact, if you're never corrected, you ain't doing nothing.
That's right.
Galatians 6 and 9. I'm not even off the first page of chapter 7. Galatians 6 and 9. Watch this. See, people who are afraid to get corrected are worried about their ego.
Come on, sir. That's right.
You know who wasn't afraid of it? You know who really didn't have an ego, didn't care? Boy, Peter. You can say what you want about Peter. Peter didn't care. Peter was all about what Jesus wanted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To the point Peter told Jesus, "Oh no, they not coming to get you." What you talking about? They come and get you. They go, "No, they not coming to get you." Peter was so gung ho about it that Jesus had to say, "Satan, get thee behind me. I rebuke you."
Yeah.
Peter got corrected, but I mean, Peter, Lord, I never deny you. Lord, I never deny you. Here comes Peter denying Jesus. First person you come looking for is Peter. Peter. Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know. Come on, Lord. You know I love you. Then go feed my sheep. See, Peter wasn't scared of correction. Because when that correction comes, it allows you to bleed. And, you ever watch a little Western movie?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody get bit by a rattlesnake, what's going to happen? They're gonna cut it. What they gonna do? You Western. I know you watch the Western. You're gonna cut that. Take a knife, cut that little bite mark over, and what they gonna do? Suck
the venom.
He goes. Suck out the blood, get that venom out, right?
Right.
Sometimes you got to be cut to get that poison. Sometimes you gotta be cut. You're gonna get cut in coven.
Yes, sir.
I ain't never been cut physically one time in my life, and I enjoyed it.
That's right.
But I made up in my mind that this cut going to heal.
That's right.
For what I did, I went got the bandages.
Yeah, right.
I went got the Vaseline. I went got the whatever other stuff to stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
Put the bandage on. And let the process of healing take place. I didn't cut my hand off because my finger got cut. I didn't disconnect my hand from my body because my finger got cut.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
I let everything stay connected until healing took place. I hope you hear me.
Yes, sir.
See, Satan loves to destroy covenant.
Yeah.
Because covenant is the thing that brings you to the next level, what God wants you to be.
Okay.
Covenant is the only way you can get there.
Okay.
Jesus told Paul, I need you to baptize me. Paul said, no, it shouldn't be me baptizing you. You the one should be baptizing me. Jesus said, so that all scriptures can be fulfilled.
Mm.
Even Jesus understood connection and the flow of apostolic authority.
Mm-hmm.
So in covenant, you're going to get cut. So you can't go renege on your declaration.
Right.
on your oath, on your allegiance. Don't sin.
Yes, sir.
Covenant is God's way of getting you to the next level in Him. You're going to go so far in God by yourself. But when you get with somebody who has experiences with God, that can let you glean in on the experiences so that you can be exposed to who God is, so therefore you can have them experiences for yourself.
Right.
Are you seeing it?
Yes, sir.
Covenant is governed by a fixivity of laws and absolutes. Fixivity of laws and absolute rules and regulations. Not control. Not control. Rules and regulations that affords accountability. See, anybody who don't want to be held accountable doing some stuff they ain't got no business doing. See, one of the things you got to be with God, if you ain't nothing else with God, you got to be real. If you ain't nothing else with God, with God, you have to be real. Because if you ain't real, you're going to go through some tests that going to show your unrealness. If there's anything in you that's unreal, God going to find it and give you a chance to change it. One of the things you got to be with God is real. Ananias and Sapphira learned that the hard way. You got to be real with God. You can't be playing with God. See, you can't be playing with God and faking it and saying you love people, saying you love your leader, but then at home you talk about it. You got to be real. You can't be at home. You can't be one way in public and one way behind closed doors.
That's right.
You can't be. You got to one. See, here's what people do. God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. So anytime you think you by yourself and you start feeling a certain way, God is sitting there right up on your heart, watching you, seeing what you're going to do. You got to be real. In covenant, you have to be real. You can't be faking. You can't be one way this day and another way this day. You got to be real. Ananias and Sapphira was not real. The reason why they died was not because, watch this, not because they lied to Peter. They died because they tried to bamboozle God. Oh, come on, we'll close that. Go back. See, this is why I'm stressing you about covenant and how important it is and how Satan would trip you up. Because, listen to me, whatever you attain through connection, you will lose through disconnection.
Oh.
That's right.
Wow.
Ask Lot.
Right. Right.
Whatever you attain through connection, you will lose through disconnection.
That's right.
Ask the fifth chapter. See, I like to be up front with people. See, in LTMA, that's why I'm taking so much time to give you about covenant, how important covenant is before we start going through these points on covenant, because some people love the glamour of covenant. When I say the glamour, they love hearing all the goodies about covenant.
Right. Uh-huh. Yes. That's true.
And they jump in without really reading the full disclaimer.
Right. That's right.
Covenant is a beautiful thing,
yes, it is.
But it's a trying thing.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? It ain't all bells and whistles.
That's right.
Sometimes it's going to be some hell, fire, and brimstone.
That's right.
That's right. Act the fifth chapter. Let me get to it. Let's see. Let me get to where I want to be. Acts the fifth chapter, not yet. It got to be fourth. I'm going to go back to the fourth. Yep. Go back to four. Go back to four chapters. I asked the fourth chapter and got 4 minutes and 49 seconds in. Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace. Great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands, plural, and houses, sold them and bought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. You see where it says great grace?
Right. Yes, sir.
Great empowerment was upon them. All right? And they laid them down at verse 35 at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to as he had needed. Now, give you a background real quick. This is the church. This is the establishment of the church. So you got Jews and Gentiles, well, really Jews, that were believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that he did get up on the third day. They were believing and beginning to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, the Jews who didn't want to believe were shutting them down from doing business with them. So a lot of them were struggling financially. So Paul, that's why great grace came upon them, so that those that were the Jews that believed in Christ, that were possessors of lands, plural, and houses, began to sell them, right? And they bought whatever was sold, they brought and laid it at the apostles' feet, right? Verse 36, and Joseph, who by apostle was named surnamed Barnabas, was being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet, right? Yes. Verse 5, talking about covenant, talking about you got to be real with God.
That's
right. See, that's why I want you to understand the disclaimer. You can't jump in covenant. You can't be connected to your leader, get all the benefits, and then you start getting benefits, and all of a sudden you won't disconnect.
Yeah.
Wow.
But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. They was in that group.
Yes,
they had great grace,
yeah.
Right? And kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, here's what people don't understand what really happened here. The Bible says great grace was on them. So when they sold those lands and houses, they sold for more than they were worth. So Ananias and Sapphira decided to bring the appraisal value.
No.
Not bring what they sold for.
Oh, God.
They kept back part.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought what they thought the land was. They probably might have had it for sale. It wouldn't sell. They had it for a certain price, and they sold for more than they had it before, because great grace, the power of God, got in on the situation. So now they decided to take it upon themselves that, oh, we got connected. We got great grace. Now we're going to disconnect with the benefits of the grace. Verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to disconnect? Why Satan has filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While this remained, was it not thine own? Was it not in your power? Did you own the land?
Right.
Wasn't you the one to make the decision?
Mm-hmm.
Could you have not said, no, I'm not going to sell the land, I'm going to keep it? But you decided to sell the land, use the power. It was your power not to sell the land. Because if you didn't sell the land and didn't benefit the power, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right.
Because you wouldn't have kept back part of the price, because there wouldn't have been no price.
Okay.
But you done sold the land now. You done benefited from the connection. Now all of a sudden you want to disconnect. While this remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine power? Paul Peter say, even after you sold it, wasn't it still under your authority? Wasn't the money still in your hand? You could have brought it. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. That's why Ananias and Sapphira died. Was not because they lied to Peter. Was because they tried to connect, to use the power, and disconnect when they wanted to benefit, they wanted to keep all the benefits from the power. Now here's the thing about God, and I'm closing here. This is why people don't really trust God. I don't need Bible to say what I'm about to say, because if we believe the word of God, we know this is what happened. Right. Every last one of them that gave land, mm-hmm. gave the money that sold, mm-hmm. received a harvest from that.
Right. Right. Right.
God yes, is sir. Not mocked.
Yes, sir.
For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. As long as the earth remains, just 8:22, right. seed time and harvest. So if Ananias and Sapphira would have followed through on the connection, they would have gone to the next level in life. Y'all have a good night. I'll see y'all next week. Definitely. Emails. I'm gonna sit down. He's been out of class too, and me and him been talking about it. So let me talk to the apostle, and we may move that back. We may move the exam for after. So y'all have a good night, and I probably will see y'all next week.